Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles, open them to the book of John, the first chapter. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. We're talking about, can God use me? Now, I want to say this overall about this series here. We've been through, can God change me? Remember, we talked about Nicodemus, the religious man. We talked about the woman at the well, the lonely person. Could God change a lonely person? He can. Well, then we talked about the guilty person, the person that was so guilty, the woman caught in adultery, and how Jesus said, go and sin no more. And can Jesus change us? And the resounding answer was yes. And then we, on Easter, talked about the day that changed everything, the day of the resurrection. Now we're moving into, can God use me? And can I say this? Being used of God is a great adventure. And I want to challenge you to be on God's mission in the world. Now, I was thinking about adventures, and I heard this story of a boy who was on a camping trip with his troop, and he was writing back to his mom and dad. I just want to read this to you. I hope our adventure is not like this, but I think you'll get the picture. He says, "Dear mom and dad, our scoutmaster told us to write our parents in case you saw the flood on television and are worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were all up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened. Oh, yeah, please call Chad's mother and tell her that he's okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. Man, it was really neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Our scoutmaster, Walt, got mad at Chad for going on a hike alone without telling anybody. Chad said he did tell him, but it was during the fire. So he probably didn't hear him at the time. Did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can will blow up? But the wet wood didn't burn, but... however, one of our tents did. David's going to look weird until his hair grows back. We'll be home on Saturday if Scoutmaster Walt gets the car fixed. It wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked okay when we left. Scoutmaster Walt said that with a car that old, you have to expect something to break down. That is probably why he can't get any insurance. But all of us think it's a neat car. He doesn't care if we get it dirty, and if it's hot, sometimes he lets us ride on the fenders. It gets pretty hot with 10 people in a car, so he lets us take turns riding in the trailer. That is, till the highway patrolman stopped us and talked to all of us. Scoutmaster Walt is such a neat guy. He's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Terry how to drive on the mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. Did you know that you don't need guardrails on roads that don't have much traffic? All we ever see up here are logging trucks. This morning, all the guys were diving off the rocks and swimming out in the lake. Scoutmaster Walt wouldn't let me because I can't swim, and Chad was afraid he would sink because of the big cast, so he let us take the canoe across the lake alone. It was great. You could still see some of the trees under the water from the flood. Scoutmaster Walt isn't crabby like some scoutmasters. He didn't even get mad about us losing the life jackets. He has to spend a lot of time working on that old car, so we're trying not to cause him any trouble. Hey, guess what? We've all passed our first aid merit badges. When Dave dived into the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. Wade and I threw up, but Scoutmaster Walt said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. He said they got sick that way from food they ate in prison. I'm so glad he got out of prison and became our scoutmaster. He said he sure figured out how to get things done better while he was doing time. I've got to go now. We got to go into town to mail our letters and buy bullets. But don't worry about anything. We're fine. Love, Cole. Now, if you got that letter, but you know, what an adventure. Let me tell you this. Serving Jesus is the most exciting adventure you could ever, ever imagine. Now, Peter was a leader of the disciples. Let's look at how he came to know and to be a part of this group. In John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Again the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'Teacher,' 'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, he said, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,'" or Peter in the Greek language. Cephas is Aramaic, which is translated a stone. Can God use me? A resounding yes is the answer. Do not be discouraged. God can use you. Now, why do we say Peter may have been discouraged? Peter was a leader. Peter, he spoke for the disciples in different passages. And for example, in Mark chapter 8, Peter's the one that spoke out on behalf of the disciples. Whenever the Pharisees came to argue about Jesus paying his tax, they spoke to Peter about it. Peter's the one that responded. In Matthew chapter 10, his name occurred first. Whenever you see a listing of the disciples, Peter's name is always first. He was a leader. He was very outspoken. Matter of fact, Peter, James, and John are known as the inner circle. They went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and Peter's name is listed first. But Peter, there was a dichotomy in Peter. He tended to be discouraged. Do you ever wonder if the Lord could use you because maybe perhaps you're discouraged, you've made some mistakes in your life? You know, Peter, he was self-seeking at times and yet self-sacrificing. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Go to these passages with me. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" He seemed to be self-seeking there. In other words, "Lord, we have left all that we have to follow you. What shall we have?" Kind of a carnal way to approach things with the Lord. And yet, at the same time, if you go to the next book of the Bible, the book of Mark, why don't you find Mark chapter 1 and verse 18. They put it up on the screen for you as well. Mark chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." So Peter seemed to be spiritually perceptive at times, and yet at the same time he was self-seeking. He was spiritually perceptive when he said to the Lord, "You are the Christ." The Lord asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." And then there were other times when he was slow to spiritual matters. One time the Lord in Mark chapter 15 was giving a parable, and Peter said, "Lord, would you explain this parable?" And the Lord said, "Are you also still without understanding?" So you have a guy here that was kind of a dichotomy. He seemed to be self-seeking and yet self-sacrificing. He seemed to be spiritually perceptive and also slow to spiritual matters. So because of that, he got real discouraged. Now, on your listening guide, I just have three things quickly I want you to write down. I want you to fill in those blanks. The first one was this. Peter was impulsive. He was a talker, and he was always impulsive about what he was going to do for the Lord. Go to the book of John, chapter 18 and verse 3. John, chapter 18, verse 3. I want you to see this. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the night before he's crucified. He's in prayer. Judas, having received a detachment of troops, Judas was coming to betray the Lord. And officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he," and Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. There was such power in Jesus' words, they fell to the ground, the Bible says. Verse 7, then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, here's Peter, here's our guy, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Now, I don't think that Peter was going for his ear. Peter was impulsive. Peter was going for the guy's head, but the guy must have moved in just a way that he cut off his right ear. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" And the Lord ended up healing Malchus's ear. In another passage in John chapter 13, go back to John chapter 13. I want you to see this. John chapter 13, verse 3. Quickly, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper. This is the Last Supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." This is the impulsive Peter. "You shall never wash my feet," Peter said. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." I mean, this guy was all over the place. "You're never going to wash my feet." And the Lord made one comment. He goes, "Well, wash my head too." In other words, Peter was a talker. Peter was very, very impulsive. We know that, we don't have time to read it all, but we know that Peter's the one that got out and walked on the water. We know another occasion where the fishermen were in the boat and Jesus was on the shore. And the picture is they were already moving the boat to the shore to go see Jesus. But what did Peter do? He just got out and kind of half ran and half swam. He wanted to be the first one there. We also know that when Jesus rose from the dead, the Mary Magdalene and Mary came back to the disciples and they said, "Hey, Jesus is out of the tomb." And there was a race between Peter and John. This is found in the book of John. The two apostles were running, and the Bible says that John ran on ahead. John was a little quicker than Peter. And the Bible says that John looked into the tomb and saw that there was no body. But when Peter got there, he just, boom, went right on in there. You see, Peter was kind of an impulsive guy. Now, I want you to look at this, number two, in your listening guide. Peter needed forgiveness. You see, Peter knew he disappointed the Lord acting that way. Let me ask you something. Have you ever made a commitment in your heart to the Lord and then you've not kept it? You feel, "Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need to be made right with you." Look at Matthew chapter 16. This is the sharpest rebuke that Peter ever received from the Lord. This is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Matthew 16, 16. Find that in your scripture. Well, verse 15 says this, but he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Now here's Peter again, verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, and then this is his sharpest rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And then you have the story of all stories where Peter says in Matthew 26, where Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew 26 that all of you are going to be made to stumble because of me. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Here he is, impulsive Peter. He's the leader, and he's out there out front, and he not only was he rebuked, and he said, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," but here he says, "I will never deny you," and Jesus says, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And then the account is in verses 69 through 75. You can read it, where he denied the Lord three times. Jesus was before Pilate. Jesus was before the Sanhedrin. And Paul was warming himself. And the book of Luke even says that the eyes of Jesus caught the eyes of Peter after Peter denied the Lord the third time. And as a matter of fact, he denied the Lord with cursing. He used profanity. You see, Peter needed forgiveness. Have you ever let the Lord down? If you do not know Christ as your Savior, have you ever felt like, you know, the way I have lived, the things I have done, how could Jesus ever take me? May I say to you that don't be discouraged. God can and wants to use you powerfully. Even if you have let the Lord down, we have all let the Lord down. Matter of fact, I want you to see something very powerful here after Jesus rose from the dead. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, chapter 16 and verse 7. When Jesus is talking to those that have found him alive, the writer is saying that he said, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." Notice he said, "and Peter." Can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus knew that Peter was discouraged. Don't be discouraged. If you're discouraged, wondering if God can use you, with all your background, whatever you come from, listen, whatever sin you've been involved in, whatever discouragement you have, just know this, that Peter, Jesus had said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus had said to Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." Jesus was being persecuted, and he looked up after Peter denied him the third time, and his eyes caught Peter's eyes, and the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever wept because of the way you've lived and you wonder, could God ever use you? Well, let me just tell you this, number three, and we'll be done. Peter was greatly used of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 2, the Bible says that that Peter was, it says, and first Peter. The word first there not doesn't mean he's naming him first. It means he was the chief. Peter was the leader of the disciples. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says that Peter was a pillar of the church. You see, the resurrection changed everything. And when the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of Peter, when he was convinced of the resurrection of Christ, Peter all of a sudden became used of God. He was used mightily for the Lord. Can Jesus use me? Can I tell you this? The answer is a resounding yes. Do not be discouraged, no matter what your background. He preached at Pentecost, that great sermon. In Acts chapter 4, he was arrested and warned to refrain from preaching, and yet he did. The same is true of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 11 and 12 is about Peter going to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 12, Herod imprisoned him with the intent to kill him. He escaped. In John chapter 21, Jesus told Peter that he would die a martyr. And that's exactly what happened. Can I tell you this? Peter, even though he was discouraged, even though he was kind of a dichotomy, he was impulsive, and yet he didn't always follow through. Once the Holy Spirit came inside Peter's life, God used him powerfully. And can I tell you this? God can use you. I was thinking about a man that I know who worked for the Winn-Dixie Company years and years ago, and he did not come to know Christ till he retired. He was a busy, busy man, and it was no excuse. And he used to go to youth camp every single year, this retired man. He had no children in that youth camp. He really wasn't involved in our youth ministry, but every year we had camp, he would volunteer. And I said, Larry, why are you doing this? He said, you know what? I lived all these years, and I never served the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. He said, I'm trying to make up for it. He said, I'm gonna do everything I can to pour in to young people and to make a difference. You know, no matter where you are in your journey, Jesus Christ can use you. He can use someone, even an elderly person. I think about old Colonel Sanders, who started KFC at 65. You know, he retired penniless. But he went around and he had 1,009 no's. He went to restaurants and said, I want you to have my chicken. He'd cook it for him and they said no. 1,000 no's. And then finally someone said, hey, that's pretty good. And they started selling that chicken. They started selling that chicken. At one time, 600 franchises. He sold 600 franchises. He sold that company for over $2 million, for millions of dollars after the fact. You see, it's never too late to be used. You may be looking at that yellow sheet today wondering, can God, what do I need to fit into being used? I pray that you'll step out in faith and say, Lord, can you use me to make a difference, to love loud in our community? You know, Jesus gave Peter a new name. He called him the Rock. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Sometimes when Peter didn't act right, the Lord called him Simon. When he fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when they were praying, the Lord said, oh, Simon, Simon. That's the way he talked to him. But then when he said, you are the Christ, he said, you shall be called Peter, the Rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Tommy Lasorda was the coach at the Los Angeles Dodgers. He had a skinny pitcher who was just a nice guy, and he changed his name. He said, I know everybody calls you by your name, but he said, to me, you're Bulldog. This guy was far from being a Bulldog pitcher. I mean, he's just a nice guy, and he never could close the deal. He never could close the game. And so Lasorda started calling him Bulldog. Give me Bulldog out of the bullpen. Give me Bulldog. Well, finally, he started living up a little bit to his name. He ended up on the pitcher's mound of the World Series. I have a book called Out of the Blue. Somebody gave it to me. It's the story of Oral Hershiser, the pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And in that book, there's a chapter called The Sermon on the Mound. And What happened was, he was in the World Series. He'd pitched the stars down to get him to the World Series, but he just got a little nervous and he wasn't throwing like he normally throws. And you know, when you get timid, and so Lasorda called timeout, he goes out to the mound, and the story is that he went out there and he said, "Oral, Bulldog," he said, "you're my guy." He said, "Listen, let me tell you something. You're my pitcher. You're the guy for this moment." He said, "Go for it." And Oral Hershiser, otherwise known as Bulldog, pitched a great game, and they won that game. Lasorda kind of changed his name. Well, can I tell you this? Lasorda changed his name. Jesus changed Peter's name. And can I say something to you? Jesus Christ can change your name. You say, "Oh, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. I've made so many verbal commitments." Hey, listen. Welcome to the club. You're just like Peter. Maybe you're impulsive. Maybe you're quick to make a commitment you can't keep. But I want you to know, Jesus said, upon this rock, and what was the rock? Not necessarily him, but the confession of his faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." You know what the Lord uses? He loses people that are willing to say, "Jesus is my Lord. Lord, I'm available." Kelly's dad tells a story of being with Vance Havner, and he said, "Dr. Havner, I want to be able. And he said, "The issue is not being able. The issue is being available. If you want God to use you, don't say, 'Lord, use me.' Say, 'Lord, make me available.' And as you become available, God will use you to make a difference in people's lives." Can Jesus use me? Resounding yes from the Apostle Peter. Don't be discouraged. I don't think the Lord's ever called any of us Satan, but he did him. And in spite of that, the New Testament records that Peter was a pillar of the church. So God can use you right where you are. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.